Blog Talk Radio. Hi, everyone. I'm Lori Davis, and you're listening to The Lori Davis Show here on Blog Talk Radio on this wonderful, sort of windy afternoon here in the Great Northwest. And our show today, where is Chelsea Poorman? Heartbreaking and scary has been the disappearance of this young woman, and who has not been heard from since September the 6th. I am so heartfelt that her mom, Sheila, has decided to join us today and to talk about the severity of this situation of missing and murdered Indigenous women. And thank you, Sheila, for your courage to support us with information that we can get out there. And I see that Sheila has arrived, and so I don't want to waste any more time. Hi, Sheila. Welcome to the show. Hi, Sheila. Are you there? Hello? Hi, Sheila. I know she's here, but not sure why I'm not hearing her. Hi, Sheila. Still on hold. Let me. My guest today, Sheila Poorman, talking to us today about her daughter, who's been missing since September the 6th. Sheila, are you there? Not sure why we cannot hear her. She's stuck on hold here. Hi, Sheila. Are you there? Hi,
Hello?
Sheila. How are you? Hello?
I'm doing good. Hello?
Good. I apologize for a little bit of technical difficulty there. Welcome to the show.
Yes.
Thank you for so much for coming in. I know this cannot be easy for you today.
Can you hear me?
Hello? I can hear you. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, you betcha. You betcha. So, Sheila, let's just get started with maybe a little bit about where you're located. And if anybody has any information, how they can contact you. Let's start with that, okay?
Okay. I'm here in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Yes.
And they can contact me through Facebook or I do have a phone number also.
All right.
You want that?
Would you feel comfortable giving that out?
Sure. The phone number
okay.
is just hold on 1 second. 604-424-6065.
And
yes.
You're also on Facebook, Sheila Poorman. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah.
Is it Poorman or Poorman? Poorman?
Poorman.
Okay. So, Sheila, let's just start a little bit about how are you doing?
I could be better. Like, it's hard.
No kidding.
Not knowing where your daughter is.
Mm-hmm. And wondering if she's okay or...
Yes.
So why don't we talk a little bit about before September 6th, you know, what happened that you know about so far on September the 6th. I know in my own case, my husband's on a missing persons list since 1986, but very little, I can never find out any information about, you know, where was he 24 hours before that. But I think you have that information.
Yes.
Do you want to share that with our listeners?
Well, she came over to spend the day with us with Paige, my other daughter. We made plans to go out for something to eat, but I decided to stay home and let the girls go out and enjoy their evening and, you know, without their mom tagging along. I thought it would be good for them to spend time together.
Mm-hmm.
So they ended up going out, and I was in contact with them a few times, just asking them how they're doing and, you know, where they were. And they let me know their plans. And then Paige let me know that she couldn't get in contact with Chelsea. So I kept on trying to phone her and message her, but to no avail. So the next day we just kind of, again, kept on trying to contact her, and we made the missing persons report because something just didn't feel right. Like, Chelsea has, she went missing for a few days prior to this here in Vancouver. But the reason why she didn't contact us for, I think it was maybe 5 days, was because she couldn't get to a phone and she had no access to the internet. The library and things were closed down. So once I made the missing persons report, that at that time, as soon as I hung up, Chelsea phoned and she let me know that she was okay. So, but this last time, it just didn't feel like something was wrong. You know, there's mothers have an intuition, you know, and my intuition was it just didn't feel the same.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, so once, and Chelsea, she makes friends very easily, so she was thinking that she just started up a conversation with somebody and ended up, you know, befriending whoever this person was that she was last
mm-hmm.
with.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like she's, like, you know, really trusting and caring. And what are some other words you would describe her?
What was that? Sorry, I couldn't hear. Hello?
Hello, I'm here.
Okay. I just didn't hear your last comment.
Just what would be some other words you would use to describe her? Obviously, she's very friendly, trusting. What other words would you use?
She's kind, really caring. You know, when she sees somebody who needs help, she's always there. Like, even though she doesn't know the person, she would still go out of her way to help them in any way that she can. When we lived in Saskatoon, we'd go for drives, her and I, and she would see people either needing help or, you know, a man sitting on a bench, and she'd say, "Mom, you know, let's go check up on him." And she gave him, you know, her coffee, you know, to keep him warm. And she'd say, "Mom, you know, can we go back and check up on that man to make sure that he's okay?" And, like, things like that. She was always looking out for others. You're cutting out.
Oh, I want you to know how much I appreciate you being here today.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can now.
Yeah, we're having a huge windstorm here, and so the technology's been compromised. So
okay.
If I disappear, just hang in there. I'll be back, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. So what kind of support have you had so far, whether that's from the authorities or family or friends? What kind of support are you getting?
I've gotten quite a bit of support through different organizations out here in Vancouver. I met some women that had Zoom meetings once a week for missing and murdered Indigenous women. So we meet up and just go through like a talking circle sort of thing. And it was very helpful. I love the support I'm getting there. And through our Facebook page, the people donated quite a bit for the reward money. So I'm really thankful for that. And plus, my home community in Saskatchewan, they also pitched in and gave a large sum towards the reward money. So I'd like to thank my community for that, and the family mm-hmm. down in Regina and on Kwakwatoose. They've shown like not only financial support but emotional support also.
So when you filed the missing persons report, to wait, I suspect, before you could do that?
What's that?
I said, when you filed, you obviously filed a missing persons report.
Yes.
And you probably had to wait to do that, right? Do you have to wait so many hours before you can do that?
No, you don't have to wait.
Okay.
They got on it right away, but the other thing was they didn't put it out in the media right away.
Okay.
Yeah.
And why do you think that is?
I guess I really don't know, can't answer that, why they waited to put it on the social media, on their social media.
Okay.
And then, say maybe 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago, her file was transferred over to the homicide unit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the thing about that was I was telling the first investigators, the detectives, that Chelsea's vulnerable due to her brain injury, but they didn't take that serious enough to do something about it. So I felt as though they didn't act on it as fast as they should have.
Mm-hmm.
So now with the homicide, they have more resources and they're mm-hmm. able to do things that the regular detectives were not able to. They had more access to other things.
Okay. So was the brain injury the result of an accident or something?
Yes, she was in a severe accident back in 2014 where she was hit by a semi.
Oh.
So, yeah. So that's one of the reasons why she walks with a limp.
Okay.
She has severe scarring on both of her legs. So she walks with a slight limp, and her left arm is in a 90-degree angle because there's a rod in there.
Okay.
So she's unable to straighten out her left arm.
Okay. So these are things we can be looking for, right, that are unique and different.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
Back in, I think it was 2019, February, she was also assaulted. So again, she had head trauma. So that also caused brain injury.
Mm-hmm.
So she's...
wow. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Wow.
So post-traumatic stress disorder, and she has some mental issues.
Mm-hmm.
Manic depressant, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like she's and bipolar. So there's all these things that are going against her and that make her vulnerable.
Yes. Yes, definitely. I'll use that word, yes. Wow.
People, you know, can easily take advantage of my daughter. And one of the hardest things that I think about every day.
I'm sure you do, my girl. Yes. Wow. So it's really hard. I've been there myself, actually. Not a child, but my mate, my partner, my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the biggest concern for us is in the aftermath is, you know, we're always wondering, are they being fed? Are they, you know, are they hungry? Are they gone through your mind?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the other thing too is she has to wear a brace on her left foot, on her left foot. And
okay.
if she doesn't have that brace, she has a really hard time to walk, to get around.
Okay, so that would make her immobile and not able to run away.
Yeah.
Whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Wow. Other than Chelsea, we know that the whole situation of murdered men and murdered Indigenous women is a huge, huge situation, right?
Yes.
So what do you think that makes Indigenous women so vulnerable?
You're cutting out again.
Oh, I'm sorry. That wind is up, I'm telling you. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Apart from Chelsea, we know that the whole situation of missing and murdered Indigenous women is a huge social injustice, whatever you call it. So what, in your opinion, makes Indigenous women so vulnerable to those attacks or the abduction, whatever it is? Just in a general way, what's your opinion on that?
I think it would be the fact that, you know, we're looked down upon as women. Like, it's happening, you know, throughout history, right? Like, it's hard to say, but I think as Indigenous women, I don't know why we're targeted, but we are.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm wondering if that's because the predators know that nobody's going to do anything.
Well, yeah, that's probably one of the main issues right there. And the other thing, too, is I know that for myself, I had a hard time speaking up when I was assaulted, you know, when I was Chelsea's age. And when I did say something, when I did make the report, it didn't go anywhere. So that's
right. Also
the other thing that's discouraging. It's like we're not taking serious by, you know, by the police or anybody that, you know, we're being hurt, we're being, you know, traumatized or abused, and they don't take our report serious enough, or they don't do anything about it or any follow throughs. So I know for myself, I was just like, you know, what's the use in even reporting something, because they're not going to do anything about it.
And that's pretty historical, hey?
Yes.
Mhm. Mhm. So, what kind of, have you received any kind of information that would support you or help you, or a bright light at the end of the tunnel? Have you received any phone calls? How has that been for you, the feedback?
We have gotten like a few tips, but they just didn't lead anywhere. People phoned in saying that they may have seen her. And when we went to that location, you know, like we came up empty-handed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And like the one thing about Chelsea is if she was just out there, she wouldn't just not call us.
Right.
No matter, you know, what she was doing, like if she was, you know, out partying, whatever, she would call us and let us know that she's okay, because she knew that, you know, that we cared, that we do care for her and that we do love her and we want to make sure that she's okay. So that's why she made sure that she would phone us.
Right. So this
isn't
some,
you know.
Yeah. This isn't some young woman who would just, you know, go off into the sunset and not call her family.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, she loves social media, you know, which young person doesn't, right? So she hasn't been active on social media since September 6th.
Oh, wow. So how... You have other children. You have Paige.
Yes.
You have other children. And how are they doing?
They're doing, you know, we're trying our best here to keep it together as a family,
yes.
but it's hard. My one daughter is seeking help right now for her own mental illnesses. So I'm glad that she's doing that because this whole situation just kind of was too overwhelming for her, so she needed to get some more support than she had.
Of course.
And my other daughter's looking into getting counseling, and I have to find a counselor also.
Right. So can you be supported in that from your, you know, are you status? You belong to a band. What's there to support you?
Yes, I am status. I was in contact with a few counselors. I just have to pick which one that I'm more comfortable with.
Right.
Yeah,
and
so
then
in
the meantime, you're trying to work, you're trying to take care of your family, you're trying to find your daughter. Like, that's a lot to deal with, Sheila.
Yes, it is.
Wow. Because it's not just the person that's missing, it's all of the other stuff.
Yeah, like it's your everyday, you know, situation that you have to deal with, right? And then to put this on top of it, it is overwhelming and very stressful at times.
And then we have this whole big COVID thing going on.
Yeah.
Do you think that has contributed to you the services or not being able to get out there as much, or do you think COVID has restricted you in any way?
It has put restrictions on a few things, but I guess the main thing is, you know, I'm still able to go out and walk the streets and hand out business cards and, you know, put up posters and talk to the people on Hastings and Granville. And social media is a big help also.
In 1986, when my husband disappeared, there was no social media.
Wow.
You know, 1986, there wasn't any way to get it out there except through the policing system. And, you know, us putting it out there as family and friends and so on. But, yeah, so at least we have that in our corner right now, hey?
Yes.
Technology. Very powerful. And I'm going to keep putting it out there. I'm going to keep putting it up there on our page. And I hope you realize how courageous it is of you to even come on here and talk about this.
Well, I'm thankful that, you know, you gave me an invite, because it's just another way of people knowing, you know, the seriousness of my daughter's disappearance and her vulnerability.
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that's important. And you know, when I want to do lots of shows on this topic, but pretty interesting how some people just don't want to come forward and talk about it. But if we don't do that, then how are we going to get any closer to resolving it, right?
Yes.
Hmm. So what are some things you'd like to see happen, not only for yourself, but for other people going through the situation? So like in the perfect world, if we could make this whole thing better, what are some things we could do to even go to that place of preventing this from even happening in the first place?
Well, I guess the one thing that I always told my daughters is, you know, with social media and everything and the phones, that they're able to share their location, right? And that's the one thing that I always tell my daughters, is to make sure that you have your location on, just for, like, for me, so that I know where you are. And but sometimes they forget, you know, to put on their location. But it's one of the, I guess, safest things that young women can do for themselves is to share their location with somebody that, you know, they can trust, that would help them in case, you know, something did go wrong. At least we'll know where they're last located.
Right. So rule number one, tell me where you are.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like having a buddy system, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Especially in a big especially in a big city that you don't know anyone.
Yes, right. So anything else around that, what we need to do, keep our girls, you know, up front and center. And you know what, though, Sheila? I think you already did that. You did that already. You had somebody, Chelsea sounds like the kind of gal that would have contacted you, would have let you know. So if that can happen with somebody like her, you know, where does that leave everybody else who doesn't do that, hey?
Exactly. Like, you know, there's so many out there that I see posters coming up, and, you know, some of the women are found within days and then some are not found. Like, where are they going? You know, who's looking out for these, you know, who's searching for these girls? Is there anybody searching for them?
Mm-hmm. And we also know, Sheila, that, you know, someone might disappear in Vancouver. That doesn't mean they're still there.
Yeah.
Right. This is far-reaching. I just read a post. I was so embarrassed, because I am from Halifax, Nova Scotia. And I just read a post that Halifax, Nova Scotia, is the second largest human trafficking center in Canada. I was like, are you serious? Because if they are abducted, I'm thinking they're shipped out right away somewhere else.
A few years ago, when Chelsea was, I think she may have been 14 at the time, we were living in Saskatoon, and Chelsea went missing back then. She was gone for 3 weeks with no contact. So she did, like, I made a missing persons report back then. I found out that she was in Edmonton. That's as far as I got. But again, the police said that they couldn't really help me because I didn't have the location of exactly where she was. And I said, well, I just know that she's in Edmonton. I said, and so she did phone me. She did happen to get to a phone and phone me at that time. And I asked her, okay, well, where are you? And she couldn't say. She said, I just owe this person money. And I said, well, you know, I was irate, and I said, I don't give a, you know, bleep who this person is. Tell me where you are. I'll come and get you. And then the phone went dead. The phone went dead, and we couldn't trace the phone number because it was an unknown number. And again, I phoned the police, and they said that they couldn't do anything because I didn't have a location.
Wow.
At that time, she did escape. And she did make it back to Saskatoon. her first words to me then was, "Mom, we have to phone the police."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Okay." I said, "Get some rest." I said, "I'll make the phone call." I said, "You can talk to the police." What happened was she got lured out to Edmonton, and the individual that ended up holding her in hotel rooms and selling her from the hotel rooms. And every time
mm-hmm.
that she tried to escape, he beat her.
So well, I mean, they're like predators, you know? They're like, that's the only word I can use to describe it. It's like a predator.
Yeah.
Tracking you down, right?
Yeah, so at that
time, it was
very traumatizing for Chelsea to go through that.
Yeah.
She was supposed to go to court because the individual was caught. She was supposed to go to court, but this was after her accident. So her brain injury, her memory. So when she did go to court, she couldn't really remember certain things. So they ended up
mm-hmm.
releasing that gentleman. And that, again, was very discouraging for Chelsea. She just felt that, you know, she was let down.
Oh, yes.
So
not supportive.
My daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even going to the police at that time in Saskatoon, she felt as though she was the one who did something wrong. You know, in the interview.
Right.
And she just said, "Mom," she said, "I feel like crap." She said, "Because they made me feel as if it was my fault, like I was the one who did something wrong."
Right.
And I told her, I said, they're just doing their jobs. I said, but I wasn't
mm-hmm.
allowed to be in the room with her, did the interview. So it was really hard on her back then, and she didn't have no support of any kind at that time.
Okay.
So
this raises another question, Sheila. She was a minor, and you were not allowed in the room?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem right to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right?
So, like, if somebody does have her, I know Chelsea, she's street smart, and she would find a way to escape.
Mm-hmm.
And that's,
wow.
I'm hoping that, you know, if she's in a human trafficking or human traffic, I know that she'll find a way out.
Oh, good. Well, she sounds like a really strong girl.
Yeah, she's very determined.
Mm-hmm. She sounds strong. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? That's who you raised, right?
Yes.
How many children do you have?
I just have the three daughters.
Okay. Yeah. This is so unfortunate, and I am so grateful to you, as I said earlier, for just, you know what, coming in and talking about it, because so many people can't talk about it. I'm just amazed by that, but we need to get it out there, and we need to get those girls out there, and, you know, we need to lobby for their rights, and, you know, this whole thing is unacceptable. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked
mm-hmm.
in Saskatoon with the they have a John school out there.
Yeah.
And I used to speak to the Johns, so once a month. So I think I did it for about 5 years. So
oh wow.
I seen the door of opportunity to share my story and
mm-hmm.
let these gentlemen know that, you know, what they're doing is wrong, and that
mm-hmm.
there's families that love these women that they're, you know, purchasing for sex, and
mm-hmm.
and most of them didn't even understand. They were only, you know, thinking of themselves, but they didn't realize that, you know, there's a lot of abuse and everything that goes on for these women that are on the streets.
Oh,
I
know.
A lot of mental issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, just, you know, even our girls who, you know, they lose their kids and then they take away the money and you're supposed to try and figure out how to get a better place to keep your kids. And, you know, they have to jump through so many hoops even to get back on track, even after the trauma. So, you know, you have the trauma and then you have the recovery. And holy jumping, the recovery is worse than the trauma sometimes. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, like I've been through that. Like I had to do that to get, you know, my daughters back because I was in an abusive relationship and I ended up losing my children and then I had addictions and I fell ill with cancer and just about lost my life.
Oh.
And, you know, more addictions on top of that and then mental, I deal with mental issues myself and it's just like, you know, where does a person, you know, go, especially a single mother who's trying to raise three daughters and it can be hard, it can be very hard.
Yeah, because the system is all backwards. You know, it's always about dealing with the crises after instead of doing things to, you know, for prevention. Like, it's like, you know, I'm listening to the politicians now talking about COVID and our Indigenous communities are at risk. Well, you think? Because maybe there's 15 people living in a house.
Exactly.
Right. So why didn't we spend the last 20 years creating positive housing so that families could live in a normal environment? You know what? You're dealing with that now on the back end because you didn't do what you're supposed to do on the front end.
Yeah,
can you
exactly.
hear my passion? Yes. You know? Like, seriously, guys, put it together. So if you're going to support a mom, a single mom, so she can have her family together, then support her with that rather than punishment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We need to do a whole show.
I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know a lot of women that I've met throughout the years who, you know, got their kids taken away and they ended up, you know, on the street homeless with mental issues.
Yes.
And then they kind of wonder, well, why aren't you doing anything to get your kids back? Because they have no support. You know,
that's
why
right.
were their kids taken away? Why were their kids taken away in the first place? You know, they should be helping out the mothers, not just taking the kids away and then leaving the mothers to fend for themselves. It's so backwards.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So, what is it that we can do to support you? If like my listeners are listening out there, there are other. Did you know that we had like almost 3,500 people see our post about your interview today?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah. It'll probably be higher when I go in later to check. But we're talking, like, by the time I shared it and sent it out, blah, 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 we have, like, over 3,500 people who now know about Chelsea, who didn't know about her before.
That's awesome.
Okay, so what is it that we can do, like a post that I can put up, you know, tomorrow about our interview? By the way, when we're done, it's live right now, but it's being recorded, and I'll load it up on my Lori Davis Facebook page, and then anybody can access the interview in a matter of minutes. But what is it that you would like to say before we wrap up? Because I think, you know what, we've made our point. And what is it that you need from our listeners to help you?
I guess just sharing, you know, Chelsea's Facebook page, sharing her missing person's posters. You know, just share the heck out of that. somebody out there has seen her, somebody knows where she is, and somebody has, they have to speak up, they have to bring her home. You know, that $10,000 reward, I'm hoping that, you know, somebody will take that initiative and say, okay, I need to say something. I need to take this girl back home.
Right. And the reward is for, let's be specific, the reward is for people providing information, people who saw her. How does that play out?
We're giving the $10,000 reward for the location of Chelsea.
Okay.
We want her. Yeah.
Okay. So if somebody has seen Toronto or Halifax or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we want her, like, I guess, be found, and we'll release the money once we know that, you know, her location and that she's found.
Wow. Okay. Well, we're just going to, you know what? We're just going to keep putting it out there. And I will continue to encourage that on our Lori Davis Facebook page. And
okay.
I just want you to know how grateful I am for you to be so brave and courageous to come on here today. And this has to be really hurtful for you and pretty worrisome, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's not getting any better, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And if your daughter has 1/10, 1/100 of you in her, she'll be okay.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So I think we're good, and we're finishing a little early. Is there anything else you want to say?
I would just like to thank, you know, all the support that I have been receiving. And
yes.
I would like, I want to, our original reward was $20,000. And I still want to offer that $20,000. So I'm still going to be, you know, raising money for that.
Because
I'm still needing to raise money for a private investigator that I've hired.
Okay.
So that's kind of relieving some stress on my part, is having this investigator with the tip line. You know, if you have any tips, just phone that tip line. Anything, you know, any little thing can help.
So do you have a number to that tip line you want to put out there right now?
Yes. It's 1-800.
Yes.
I have it. 531.
Yes.
2810.
2810?
10, yes. That's the tip line.
2810.
Yeah, 531. 1-800-531-2810.
Okay. And you know what? Also, too, Sheila, we can post that up there, too.
Okay. That would be great.
Okay. All right. Thank you so very much. And let's stay in touch, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. My guest today, Sheila Poorman, daughter missing since the 6th of September. Actively and aggressively looking for her location, if we have the location. And that's something I learned from Sheila. I didn't realize that location is like number one. So if we know she's in Edmonton or Halifax or Toronto, then we can zero in on that. So that's amazing to know that kind of information that is needed when you have a missing person. I'm Lori Davis. You've been listening to the Lori Davis Show here on Blog Talk Radio. My guest tomorrow, Nancy LaFleur. Nancy LaFleur, beautiful woman from northern Saskatchewan, author, teacher, seamstress, photographer, and an amazing storyteller. So we'll be talking with Nancy LaFleur tomorrow. Bye for now, and talk to you all soon.